The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast belong solely to those expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the OSIF Foundation Incorporated or any other group or individual. This podcast may contain dialogue or subject material that could be considered for mature audiences only. All aspects of how you play the game and the OSIF Foundation Incorporated are protected by copyright and other state and federal intellectual property laws. Unauthorized use without the express written consent of the OSIF Foundation Incorporated is strictly prohibited. If you're interested in sponsoring How You Play the Game, please email us at podcast@osipfoundation.org. Your sponsorship may be tax deductible.
So the comma ends up being silent. And as a result of that, we had a miscommunication, you know, because you try and slide it in there.
Right.
That's what she said. And it comes out differently.
Yes.
Also kind of what she said.
Right.
Did we already start this episode terribly? Okay.
No. We're recording.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's... Yeah. The silent comma strikes again.
Well, yeah. It changes the whole meaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. All you can do at that point is literally just misspell everything.
And as our grammarless society continues to devolve, we're going to continue to misinterpret.
I mean, Merriam-Webster came out and said that we can now end sentences and prepositions.
Nope.
No.
Cancel Merriam-Webster. Cancel them.
Cancel
they're
grammar.
Bought and paid for it. Look, they're bought and paid for by the...
for which they are bought and paid.
For which they are bought and paid by big corporations, by big words, by big words.
That just so that we can sell some meaningless books.
Right.
Okay.
That's all it is.
This is up there with Master Shake saying, plaque is a figment of the liberal media and the dental association to get you into buying useless pastes and brushes. Now, I have read the arguments on both sides, and I can concretely tell you that there is absolutely no reason to ever brush your teeth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And to which the counter statement to that was, then why do you have good teeth then, Shake? Well, I'm straight. Teeth are for gay people. That's literally what he said. Something like that.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Speaking of,
I'm sorry. I have to sit down and watch that series from beginning to end.
They came out with five new episodes within the last year.
I heard.
Yeah.
Were they good?
They were reasonable. They were reasonable. I feel, you know, it's tough with series like that where you have like the 11-minute, you know, skits on Adult Swim. You've gone so far theater of the absurd that as you try and continue to, you know, create classic comedy that makes no sense. Right. You start grasping at straws and just kind of, you're throwing things at the, you know, darts at the dartboard and seeing what sticks. And a good chunk of it probably won't make sense or be funny until you watch it three or four times.
And we're talking about Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Correct.
For those of you who are not familiar with Master Shake. But, and it's been like, what, 10 years? 10 years since.
Not be familiar with Master Shake.
Right. Yeah. And it's been like 10 years since their last syndicated episode.
Something like that. So
there's a huge chunk of time missing there.
And they made a movie in between there.
Yes.
The Plantasm.
Okay.
It's just...
I have not seen that, actually.
It's okay. I watched that on a flight, actually.
Okay.
So it's... I mean, look. These types of things, like, they peak at certain points and then they decline. And you have to, like, pick out the one-liners that make no sense.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, I am an adult and I deserve an adult glass. And then he spills the chocolate milk.
2013, right? Or 14 was their last.
Like, something in that range.
Was that around their last episode? True episode? Okay. Yeah. I'll have to go back and watch the series again.
They just some of the one liners that I'll still say some of the one liners.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, speaking of one liners.
Yes.
Welcome to How You Play the Game.
There you go.
The official podcast of the OSIF Foundation Incorporated. Yours truly, Jack Furlong, with you as we talked about what's going on as far as the world of sportsmanship is concerned. This is the first episode of the month of April. Hey, that's no April Fool's joke. The year is 2024. As always, check us out online at osafoundation.org. Contact the show via email with the address podcast@osafoundation.org. And on social media, we're at facebook.com/osafoundation. X, formerly Twitter, and Instagram are both at osafoundation, #howyouplaythegame. And across the way from me, as always, for this one episode per month, is the producer engineer, Mr. Sean Ryan. Sean, hello, how are you?
Wow, I feel like that was a little bit of a jab.
Well, how dare you not be a deadbeat? How dare you work?
I'm sorry for being productive. I'm so sorry. Don't believe anything today.
Why?
Because it's April Fool's Day.
Oh, right.
Don't believe anything. Don't believe it.
Of course, most people will probably be listening to this on like April 3rd.
Still don't believe anything.
Okay. You know what?
Don't believe anything ever.
Yeah, exactly. Don't, you know what? Nobody gets any rights.
Opinions.
Yeah.
Hey, check out this shirt.
Smail Smalding 24. You'll get nothing and like it. Very nice. Very nice. It's kind of the truth anyway. So
yeah, listen, you know. I'll vote for these guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I that's another movie I need to see again. I think the last time I watched it was with you guys, like a couple years ago, right? Or something like that. Like a year ago, last summer.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. Did we even get into the summer? Maybe. I don't know. I can't remember.
It was definitely before our trip.
Yes.
It was before because it was sort of prepping me for it. I think I'm due for another viewing of that movie.
That's fair.
Yeah. They're speaking of one-liners, there are a lot of great one-liners in that movie. Well, we're waiting.
Why don't you come down to the yacht club?
Double farts, Spalding.
Only an idiot would wear that hat. Well, it looks great on you, though.
And then the eye roll.
Yeah.
That was great.
This weed better be good.
Yeah, we're not going to finish
that one.
Can't
finish that one? Okay. Oh, man. You know, but there are people who actually don't like that movie. They think it's just way too incoherent.
Well, those people, like, what? How are they? What? How do they have a heart?
Now, hear me out. I think that movie, they're definitely, you know, if you break down some of the writing and some of the direction and whatnot, there is a lot of inconsistency in it that makes it like kind of head scratching, like they're just cobbling crap together, but it happens to still be funny.
Of course, that's what makes it funny.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's definitely up there with, like, you know, just the stupidity of how the thing is put together, you know, The Room or Rookie of the Year, just how bad it is, you know.
Or, like, anything with Rodney Dangerfield in particular, like Back to School.
Yeah.
The whole plot is just completely not relevant.
Or the original Casino Royale in 67 that had five different directors.
I didn't know that it had five different
directors. Oh, yeah. That's, yeah, the comedy Casino Royale. Oh,
hey, they're looking at a new Bond. Did you see, what's his name, Aaron?
Yeah, they've already, like, started to put that one to bed because of the tabloids. The fact of the matter is, just call me. I'm available. Okay?
Well,
I will learn the accent. I will have the nose job.
Okay.
I will remember to put sunscreen on the top of my head.
Yeah. With your receding hairline in air quotes.
Yep.
Give me a break. This is guts right here, okay?
If you're not watching the simulcast, which has yet to exist anyway, Sean is practically bald and I've got a beautiful Italian mane. Beautiful
that's
Italian
receding.
Mane.
That's receding.
All,
that's Don't slight, worry. You'll join me.
I have.
Enough.
I just have. I have the slight curve here that just shows you where the part goes.
It's gonna keep going. You'll see.
Yep. If I have, it's so weird. You know, they say that the bald gene is from your mother's father's side. Mm-hmm. Everyone on my mother's side is bald.
Right.
And somehow it dodged me so far.
Well, everyone in my family is bald. So, including
Your mom? Even,
no.
Your dad has hair.
He does, but again, it skips a generation, right?
Oh, okay.
So they say. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe there's generational skipping.
Yeah.
Which is also the title of my book.
Right.
You know?
Generational skipping.
Maybe that's the title of the episode. Generational skipping with the sidekick Silent Comma. That's a new superhero duo.
I can't even remember that, and I'm too lazy to write it down.
That's fine. I'll try and remember it. I'm the one who titles them anyway.
Okay.
So.
Sometimes I do.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I have to go in and change it because you write something very offensive.
and you'll title
the episode something incredibly offensive, and then somewhere there's a note that says, by the way, don't title the episode that,
right?
And I'm like, too late.
Yeah, I did that a couple times,
and I'm just like, nope, under the bus you go. The views, thoughts, and opinions.
Don't worry, that'll be in there. That covers us, right?
Yeah, that's why we have the disclaimer, because, you know. Mm-hmm. You know.
Hey, speaking of disclaimers. Oh, wait, you already did the introduction.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well,
you need you all right there? You need another cup of coffee?
No, actually, too much.
Oh.
I had some heart palpitations the other day.
Oh, that's just normal.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're successful, when you have an income and a mortgage. Okay. Try being a deadbeat like me. It's much better for your heart.
No palpitations.
No palpitations. I just go into your cardiologist's office.
No job, no palpitations.
Exactly.
There's your name of the episode.
Exactly. Doctor, I'm having a lot of palpitations. Well, are you successful? Well, yeah. Well, try being a deadbeat.
Try
no job, no palpitations. How is that not like Seinfeldian? Like that's something that George should definitely, you should be doing it since absolutely. You're George.
Yeah, that's true. Oh God.
No job, no palpitations.
That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Well, now that we've got that out of the way.
Yeah.
we got two stories to examine today. Mm-hmm. We'll start with the good one because we usually always start with, you know, downers. So let's start with an upper.
Yeah.
This one came in early March from the great state of Louisiana. Mm. There was a high school basketball situation where an upset occurred, and instead of celebrating, the team that won consoled the team that lost. And the quotes that came out of it were very, very nice. Apparently, the Donaldsonville High School basketball team finished a successful season. They appeared in the state semifinals. And what happened apparently is they upset they were the number 8 seed, and they upset the number 1 seed, which was a French Settlement. And immediately what happened was after they won 62-56, they immediately went to console French Settlement players in, you know, because of the major upset.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here.
So it was expected that Donaldsonville would have lost.
Lost, because it was a 1-8.
Right.
And the French Settlement coach, Jake, whether it's Bourgeois or Bourgeois.
Bourgeois.
Yeah, exactly. Some people bourgeois. Like to pronounce it French, and some people don't. So bourgeois. don't ask W.E.B. Du Bois. I'll tell you that much. Okay. He says he called the game's ending a true definition of sportsmanship. He said they could have run around and celebrated, but chose to show grace and comfort even through excitement. You should be so proud. I know I'll forever be a better coach because of that moment.
That's great.
And a French Settlement fan wrote in another post, quote, "The community of Donaldsonville should be very proud for raising such young men. We will be cheering you on at state, and go Tigers."
Wow.
So
good for them.
They ended up, I think, losing in the semifinal, but mm-hmm. it was just the fact that the number 8 seed upset the number 1 seed, and their immediate reaction was to you know, go and console the players of the number one seed is really big. And it just kind of feeds off of each other because the losing coach comments on it and says, I think that's one of the most powerful parts of the whole thing, is saying, I'll forever be a better coach because of that moment. And then to have that highlighted by another fan, right, you know, saying, you know, we got, you know, we'll be cheering you on and yada, yada, yada. Like that's how these moments get memorialized and how the gravitas of them continues to grow. And I think right, that's incredibly important here to see that, because it's not just, you know, when sometimes when we talk about sportsmanship, you know, there's that element where it's the whole, look what I can do, you know, you need the public to see it kind of a thing in order to sure, have it disseminated. And a lot of sportsmanship is in the quieter moments that don't get reported. And in this, you know, the players who were acting with good sportsmanship, you know, did so naturally without cause to, you know, boast about it and say, look what we're doing. The opposing coach picked it up and ran with it. And it was just kind of like a natural progression of promoting this beautiful moment that didn't seem to serve the ego or the publicity at all, you know. And even the stories that were written about this did not seem to be over the top. It was good sportsmanship by the media, in that it was just a very simple reporting of the facts. There was no op-ed, there was no you know, additional commentary about it. Just these folks went out and just said, this is what happened, period.
Yep.
And allowed the reader to kind of just melt along with, you know, the goodness of the story. So yeah, applause to everyone all around who participated in this, the players, the coaches, the fans, the parents, and you know, and the media.
Yeah.
You know, y'all did a great job, you know. Yeah. And you know, we can't thank you enough for you know, harboring the message of good sportsmanship there.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't take a lot to do it.
No.
Like, it just, you know, it, when you do one kind thing, right, someone else picks up on it. And because now that, you know, Donaldsonville showed French Settlement, you know, the good sportsmanship, well, now maybe French Settlement could learn something from that and apply it to another team they best.
Right.
And it's, you know, and it's one of those things where it can be part of the, you know, it could be part of the culture,
the chain of command, if you will. It's just, right, it just continues to exponentially multiply.
And that's always good. It's, yeah, always a good thing. So yeah, good for Donaldsonville. That's, you know,
and excellent. Good for French Settlement for picking up on it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the other things about a situation like this that makes it great is that you and I are kind of at a loss for words. Not because of how
yeah, I'm almost like, I'm almost expecting something bad to happen.
Right. We've got like that foreboding that joy, you know, and whatnot. But it's more along the lines of what more needs to be said.
Right.
You just point to it and say, do this, or right, great job.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So you know, I think the best way to kind of celebrate it is to move on from it. Just say, this, yeah, is the norm, or this should be the norm.
Right.
You know? So let's move on into something more depressing.
Good.
All right. Great.
Story, I need to flex my muscles a little bit.
Yeah. So the more depressing story comes out of the great state of Oregon, and the Oregon School Activities Association, the OSAA, which is assembly, which is essentially kind of like their state level sports association, like the NJSIA, et cetera. They are meeting to discuss the sportsmanship policies and how it reflects the rising number of ejections in their sports. And apparently, this is not anything new, because this is actually something that was highly discussed at the national level, especially when I was in Indianapolis with the NFHS and they were talking about how the sportsmanship, they thought it would be better coming out of COVID because everyone's just like, oh, thank God we're back and yada, yada, yada. Instead, it was the exact opposite, which is everyone is meaner. Everyone is nastier. And according to this, in boys soccer, in the they had 137 ejections in the 2022-23 school year. And this past year went up to 198.
Yep.
You know, and 182 of the 198 were for bench misconduct, entering the field during a fight, language, serious foul play, taunting, violent conduct, or second caution. There were apparently two notable fights within a short span during the fall state tournament. There was one in a football game. And the officials ended up having to call the game off completely. And then in a soccer game a couple of days later, there was a bench-clearing brawl in the final 10 minutes of the game. And they're basically looking at questions like, do we have to bring in, you know, harsher penalties? Additional missed games, higher fines, students required to take sportsmanship classes. You know, and they go through, you know, a couple of different questions like, this is a good one. Should a suspension period be a percentage of a season versus a single contest? Because, for example, in football, a one-game suspension is 11% of the season, while in basketball, one game is 4% of the season.
Right.
So those are legitimate questions to be asked.
Kind of like that, actually.
Yeah. And because, you know, on one hand, you know, a game's a game. We get that. But, you know, missing one game in football is a big deal. Missing one game in baseball or basketball is not. Right. You know what I mean? So what they may end, what it seems like they're trying to do is to say, okay, you're going to miss 11% of the season if you're suspended one game in football. What's 11% of the season in the other sports? Because that's what we're going with.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
with what we are going.
Thank you for correcting me. Mm-hmm. I was just talking about Merriam-Webster.
Yeah.
How dare I?
Right.
What's wrong with me? Shame on me.
Pathetic.
Pathetic. No. Hey, no job, no palpitations.
There you go.
So anyway, you know, it's, I guess the good news, if there's a silver lining here, is that the state is recognizing this and they're looking to do something about it. You know, they are acknowledging the trend that we all see. Yeah. And they're trying to say, well, we got to do something. We can't just sit back and sweep it under the rug.
Right.
You know, it's good to have those discussions and those debates. I feel like almost even if they didn't do anything different, the fact that they are having the discussion is a step in the right direction.
Yeah. And the rising ejections and incidents that are occurring reflect really what's going on in society.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, not to make it existential, but, you know, it's, I feel like I went into a bit of a tirade the last time I was on, but,
no, you did.
I know I did. But I feel like there's, you know, they say art imitates life. Well, sports imitate life too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see what's going on in the world and all these tensions and all this, you know, this desire for justice, this, you know, recreational victimization that's going on, and the unnecessary outlash and, we've forgotten how to use our words.
Yeah.
I think that's really like the big thing. And it's spreading and it's getting worse. And it's you see it in sports and, you know, the misinterpretations and the miscommunications lead to violence quicker than they would if you just talk about it and be like, hey, what did you mean by that?
Right.
Or if you even accidentally hit someone, let's say in soccer, or I saw a clip, I can't remember. It was a girls' soccer team, I think semi-professional, and it may have been college, but it was on Instagram. And One girl accidentally bumped into another girl on the opposing team, like by a complete accident. And this girl turns around and starts like almost choking her. And yeah. I'm like, oh my God, it was an accident.
Normally I have to pay extra for this kind of thing.
You haven't said sorry. Like it's out of hand. It is not every action is a threat. Not every action has malice connected to it. It's some things are by accident.
Yeah.
Most things are by accident. And I mean, how many times do you see a pitcher slip and the ball goes behind the batter? And sometimes it's an accident.
Yeah.
A lot of times it is. And how often do fights break out because of that? It's like, no, pitching is hard.
Yeah.
Like you have to from a 66 and a half feet or 60 and a half.
60 feet, 6 inches.
60 feet, 6 inches away. You have to get a ball in a 3 foot by 2 foot rectangle.
At this point, because of the strike zones being different sizes sometimes, let's just say it's a rectangle.
Like it's small compared to where you are, and you get sweaty and the ball can slip, and even with rosin you don't have complete control all the time.
Well, you know, the other part of that is, you know, they say if pitching was easy we'd be able to put the ball exactly where we want it every single time, and right. We can't do that, you know.
No. So, and there has to be, I don't know. It's if people would just put down
the ducky,
put down the ducky, lay down their weapons, sit down and have a meaningful discussion.
Yeah.
That could be just 2 minutes. Like, hey, I'm sorry. That was a complete accident. I'll do my best to not have that happen again. Like,
there was actually a scene, I think, in a spring training game recently between the Yankees and the Mets where Starling Marte for the Mets was up and he got hit, I think, in the helmet mm-hmm. by a breaking ball from Clay Holmes. Mm-hmm. And Marte, for those of you who don't know, missed a lot of the previous season with migraines and other similar things that were really, keeping him out, right? And Holmes, as soon as he let it go, you could see him, you know, like turn around, look up at the sky, crouch, like totally didn't mean to do it.
Right.
And they took Marte out immediately. It was the last game of spring training. They're like, there's no reason to have you continue, et cetera. And as he's walking off, he's mouthing, I'm okay. I'm okay. And like you could see that corroboration between him and Holmes where they're just like, you know, it's an accident. Like I didn't mean to do that. Right. And they were both cool with it, you know? And I'm like, right. The only thing that could have made that scene better is if Holmes went over and just hugged him and said, I'm really sorry and whatnot. And because then you use the platform to say, guys, you got to take a step back here. You know, this is a meaningless exhibition spring training game. I know the guy was hurt last year. Right. We're just trying to get our work in before the season starts. Right. You know, if you think I'm trying to hit a guy like this,
it's a breaking ball. I mean, exactly. It's a breaking ball. If you're hitting someone with a breaking ball, that has to be an accident.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it still hurts.
Right.
But yeah. It's an accident.
Yeah. It's like there's like a 99% chance it's an accident. Okay. Right. But it's pretty clear. You know, I was actually experiencing this the other day. I was doing a cadet scrimmage where what happens in a cadet scrimmage in our umpire chapter is veteran officials, so in this case it was me, I was assigned to a game, and we had 3 first-year umpires come to the game, and they were essentially rotating every 2 innings, doing the plate and the bases and whatnot, and in between every half inning, I go out and I talk with them, and we give them like this on-field practicum experience, et cetera. And in like the top of the first inning, there was a guy standing next to where I was in the stands, and the plate umpire was still trying to figure out, you know, the strike zone and whatnot. And you could hear some guys like kind of like begrudgingly say like, oh, where was that pitch? All that kind of stuff. And I just kind of shot a couple of people a look very briefly. And then all of a sudden, like this guy behind him goes, oh, this is a scrimmage, isn't it? I was like, yeah, this is a cadet scrimmage. These are all guys who have not, you know, umped before. And then the guy who was behind the screen tells me, it's the debut for my son, who's the coach too. And this was a guy who was like, you know, bitching about pitches at first,
right?
And that, and I said, and you immediately knew, like a light bulb went off in his head, where he was like, wow, okay. It's the first time for my son coaching. It's the first time for these guys umpiring. Maybe we should all take a step back here.
Right.
You know, and that was important.
Yeah.
You know, it's very important to have those moments. We as a society have gotten meaner and nastier since the turn of the century, and COVID just expedited it. And I'm not really going to get into, you know, the op-ed side of it, but it's pretty true that we're coming out of it. We're all mean and nasty.
Right.
You know, so the sooner that we can consciously recognize, like, okay, this is, you know, this is not the end of the world. Not to mention, this was a JV game, for crying out loud. It was a scrimmage and it was a JV game. And like, I hate to break it to people, I know that kids, you know, really take these games seriously, as they should. It's important to them. And I get that. I was there. Sub varsity games are just glorified scrimmages, technically. You know, so it's just we all need to do a better job of taking a step back and realizing, you know, what's really going on here. Can we become mindful of our conscious self and just kind of allow the thoughts that drive us to not do that for a moment and examine why that's happening? Because if we can do that, so maybe some of this BS will stop.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think when, you know, you said that COVID sort of should sort of, when we come out from it, should bring us together. And, you know, that's true. It should. But I think COVID is also, not to get too much into it, but it's isolated us as well.
Yeah.
And we forgot how to interact face to face with people. And I think that's a big part of the problem.
Well, they've done a lot of studies that show that isolation is actually bad at times.
Yeah.
You know, we are social creatures.
Right.
And the technology and the things that we had to try and allow us to be social creatures during the pandemic were not enough.
I almost think, like, if this pandemic had happened 30 years ago.
Right.
And we had to isolate. I think we would come out of it much better, because we wouldn't have all this technology and social media and
we wouldn't know any better.
We wouldn't know any better. And we would come out of it thanking the very ground on which we walk.
Because, you know, before technology became what it was, we had very limited means of communication.
Right.
You know, 30 years ago, when we were 10 years old, you know, you had a telephone.
Right. And that's about it.
That's it.
That's it. I mean, maybe some advanced, like, maybe some prototype video conferencing software, but not commercially available.
Nope.
Not like available to the general public, you know? So I don't know. I feel like, you know, but social media has become a necessary evil. I mean,
as is all technology, having the smartphone in your hand for instant communication and instant information.
It's great. But at the same time,
it's bad.
A lot of the wrong people have access to that.
Yep.
And I hate to say, you know, I don't. Yeah. Anyway.
It's troublesome.
Things were fine, just the way they were. Like,
yeah.
Things were fine before, I'll admit, technology is a conveyance, but at a certain point, it gets to be too much.
I like the ability to text message. Okay.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you know where I'm going with this.
I like talking to people, like, face to face.
I also kind of wonder, like, again, not to go down this road too much, but a lot of the nation's response to the pandemic was very state specific.
Yeah.
And you wonder if the statistics for the poor behavior were different in the states where the restrictions were harsher. You know, because if you look at other states that were not locked down the same way, would we see the same type of information here? Would the stats be any different where people would be generally nicer, so to speak?
That's interesting. Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I don't have the statistics. All I can tell
it's
you
plausible.
Is that all I can tell you is that this story came from Oregon and we live in New Jersey. Okay. But those states are of a certain brand and other states are different. The Floridas and the Texases and the southern states of the world.
Right.
So
southern states of the world.
You heard me. Okay. The southern states of the world, which where nobody has a job and nobody has palpitations.
Right.
And nobody gets any rights and they will like it.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, you'll get nothing in like it. Yeah, so I think going back to the story, I think it's good that the conversation is there about the increased ejections and misconduct. I definitely like the percentage idea.
Right.
And I think the percentage, it should be like tiers, right? Tiers of severity. Like if it's like, you know, let's say you get into a physical fight with, or let's say there's like verbal abuse,
right?
You know, that maybe that's 5% of, you know, or 2% of the season. Let's say, you know, once you make physical contact, it goes up to 5 or 6%. And then like, if you make, you know, if you, the whole team gets into a brawl, it goes up to 10%.
Yeah. Something like that. You know, because they're going to take it on a case by case basis, but there's also precedents that are going to be set and they kind of have to follow that.
Right.
You know,
now if they do, this is semantics, but if they do like 5% and there are only 11 games or 10 games in a football season, would it be for partial game?
No, you know what they would do instead? They would use football probably as the standard, and they would say, okay, if a one game suspension is 11% of the season, a two game suspension is 22% of the season, etc. And then they would take that and apply it to other sports.
Oh wow!
So the
stakes would start already pretty high,
right? So you would say, okay. Well, in basketball, let me bring up the math here again. In basketball, one game is 4% of the season, okay? So, you know, 12% of the season would be three games. So, essentially what they would say, okay, if someone in football is going to get a suspension for one game, the same penalty in basketball should be a three-game suspension because that's how the math will more or less add up.
Okay, that makes sense.
That to me is probably how it would work. You're not going to be able to get it exact, but if you can stay within 1 or 2%, you're essentially doing it. You know, 11% to 12%. That's, I mean, let's not
slice the bologna too thin.
Thank you.
Okay, that's reasonable. I like that. I like the percentage idea.
Because it's true. I mean, a basketball season is very different than a football season.
Right.
You know, look at all the professional sports that we have now anyway, okay? A football season, a regular season is only 18 weeks, you know? Yeah. So whereas a baseball season is 162 games.
Right.
So you have to, I mean, that's one of the reasons why, like in baseball, if a starting pitcher is going to be suspended, the suspension for a starting pitcher is going to be much larger because they only play once every 5 days.
Right.
You know, so a starting pitcher will get a longer suspension to force them to miss one start, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Whereas a relief pitcher might get a smaller suspension for the same crime, you know, but it's because they're missing more opportunities to play.
Right.
So there's math involved.
Yeah.
Which is troublesome for some.
Hey, Trouble City.
Yeah.
As long as they're hot.
Can I watch you sleep?
Mind if I watch?
Yeah.
Sure, buddy. You can use my new Cinco sleep watching chair.
By Cinco. You do that guy a little too well.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I got to be Michael Gross.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, he has, by the way, Michael Gross. Speaking of Michael Gross, I found him on Instagram, and apparently he only has like 6,000 followers.
The dad from Family Ties?
Yeah.
Only has 6,000 followers?
Yeah, and I think it's him. I think it's actually him. Wow. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to start following him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice, really nice guy. Like, I mean, just in general, like a really nice guy. I mean, I've never spoken to him personally, but.
Give him a call. I'm sure he's waiting for you.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Use the Cinco phone.
Right.
You know?
You kidding me?
This thing's not going anywhere. Interrupting your leisure time on the golf course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
You want to do this for the cream? I should use the cream for my forehead, by the way.
Hey, the cooling gel? Yeah. Yep. Do it.
Yeah. That's how you know it's working.
Yeah. Kick-ass gel.
Yeah. No, wait, you can't call me.
No, you can't. Great job. 2 hours. I'm not going to wait two hours for my phone to charge. Oh, man. So yeah, no, this is great. I think I don't think I have anything left to say.
No, I don't think so either. I think we kind of knocked this one out nicely.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, yeah. I think that's a good place to put the bookmark, if you will.
Yeah.
All right, great. Sounds well, good. this is nice that we could get this one in, and mm-hmm. great to talk to you once per month as usual.
Only once. We don't see each other outside of this.
I will not see you again until May.
Hey, maybe the golf course.
Yeah. Oh, definitely the golf course.
I'll
probably be out whether you are or not. So.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah. I respect that.
Just fine. I have not golfed since before my trip to Florida. So, and with baseball here, with the amount of times I'll have to golf, it's not going to be good. So
I haven't golfed since we went to Wolf Creek.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to be,
if I may, pathetic.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. I'm going to be shit.
Do I still have to cover bail, or are you walking the course with me now?
I might walk.
Okay.
Let me figure that out.
All right.
I'm going to see how I feel when I get there.
Okay. That's fair.
But if I get the free carts, so.
Now hear me out. The free carts might be better to use when it's hot.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Right now, it's, you put on a jacket and you do it.
Right.
You know?
Ah. Yeah.
Get your exercise in now so you don't have to exercise when it's hot.
Yeah, that's true. That's okay. Why I'm walking all over the place now.
Yeah, and you walk like Ed Begley Jr. So
that C phone's not going anywhere.
two antennas for double reception. All right. Well, I think we've done enough. So, yeah. Okay, great. Sean, thank you.
Of course.
And reminder everybody to check us out at osafoundation.org. Contact the show via email with the address podcast@osafoundation.org, facebook.com/osafoundation, X formerly Twitter, and Instagram @osafoundation, #howyouplaythegame. We'll talk to everybody in just a few short weeks. And until then, treat each other with respect. How You Play the Game is a production of the OSA Foundation, Incorporated. The producer-engineer of this episode is Sean Ryan, music by SoundSpring Studio. The executive producer of How You Play the Game is Jack Furlong. For more information, visit osafoundation.org.